There were so many people waiting in line to cast their votes in Iran's presidential election 6 days ago that the closing time of the polls was extended 3 times. Many of those same voters have been in the streets since, protesting the announced results, and foreign reporters are being forced to leave the country. Joining me now to update us on the situation across Iran is Kevin Sullivan, foreign editor for The Washington Post. I'm very pleased to welcome him back to our show today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
This morning, Iran's Guardian Council announced that it was open to talks. What does open to talks mean? And is this a significant development?
Well, we're all trying to read the tea leaves, aren't we? But, you know, they have agreed to sit down with the presidential candidates who are disputing the results of the election. And now, is this a dramatic U-turn reversal of their earlier stance? I don't know. I mean, we're taking a fairly cautious look at this, and we think that this may be just very practical. You know, there's a lot of anger out there, and they need to be seen to be taking some action to maybe placate some of these crowds and hear these people out. Whether anything comes of it or not, who knows, but seems like a pragmatic step.
Well, it seems like a further concession after the offer of a partial recount was rejected by the opposition yesterday.
Sure. Or it's, you know, it's another way to try to find some way to defuse this thing. I mean, obviously the government is very, very worried about what's happening. If tens of thousands, some days hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, they need to figure out a way to get a lid on this. And you can almost feel the desperation coming off them at this point.
I spoke to CNN's Christiane Amanpour on Election Day last week, and I asked her about some of the rumors going around about the voting. And here's what she said.
Well, there are always these concerns here in Iran, and let me give you an example. There were rumors swirling all week and certainly for the last few days that the official pens at the election booths, at the ballot boxes that would be used to mark the ballot papers, would be filled with vanishing ink. And that rumor swelled to such heights that election authorities last night were compelled to broadcast over state radio and television that people who wanted to be absolutely 100% sure should bring their own pens. And everybody brought their own pens, as far as we could see today, whether they were Ahmadinejad voters or Mousavi voters.
Well, on the end, despite that, I suspect Iranian voters did not imagine something like this might happen. But is it possible that Ahmadinejad actually received 63% of the vote?
Well, you hear a lot of different things, and no one really knows. You hear a lot of people saying that he may well have won, but not with the not by the margin that they're claiming. He's remarkably popular in many parts of the country with a lot of people over there. He's a populist. He's supported by a lot of people, especially in rural areas. And it is more than conceivable that he may have won this election. Now, it's also quite possible that they stole it for him, and it also may be true that both things are true. He may have won by a little bit, but they wanted to make sure he won by a lot. There's just no way of telling. There are no really reliable polls there, and the election results, it's very hard to know what to believe.
Well, the only person who could win other than Ahmadinejad is Mousavi.
Right.
What about the two other candidates who are on the ballot? Are they rallying around Mousavi?
They are to a certain extent. I mean, Mousavi has become the face of this, what's going on in Tehran, because he's the most visible. He was the highest finisher. He's quite well known. He was the prime minister in the 80s. He's a very well-respected man. He's very closely tied into the leaders of the Islamic Revolution. And in 1979, he's a known commodity. It's actually sort of ironic that he has emerged as the face of the dissent against the government.
Well, the Mohsen Rezai, the most conservative candidate, asked the people who voted for him to send him their national ID numbers, and he says he's received 200,000 more than the official vote tally gave him.
We're looking at the numbers. A lot of people are trying to parse these numbers and figure out if they make any sense. I mean, some of the voting patterns, I haven't looked at them that closely, but I hear that in some places the results just don't make any common sense. And a lot of people who look at polling numbers in this country have tried to figure out whether these things make any sense, and it's very difficult. We're looking at this through about 16 different filters, and it's hard to figure out what the truth is.
During their World Cup qualifying match yesterday, 6 members of Iran's national soccer team wore green wristbands to show their solidarity with Mousavi's party. and then went on to lose. Are we seeing people from all parts of the Iranian society protesting these election results, or just the people in Tehran who are out on the streets?
Well, that's you know, this is a very important distinction. There are some people who say, "Oh my gosh, this is just these, you know, the urban elite from North Tehran who are all, who've always been, you know, always been unhappy with the government, and it's just more of them this time." And there are other people who say that actually that it may have started with those people, but it's grown. It's become something much more organic and broad. I mean, it does seem to encompass people from all parts of the scale of, you know, religion, ethnicity, urban people, rural people. There seem to be a lot of people out. The protests are mainly focused in cities, and Ahmadinejad's people are focusing on that to say, listen, this is an urban problem. They don't really represent the heart of this country.
They are the biggest protests since the days of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. Estimates of 500,000 people participating in yesterday's silent protest. And Mousavi has called for a protest today. He's asked for people to wear black to honor the 32 people who've died in the protests. And one newspaper has estimated that 1 million people have turned out today.
Yeah, I'd be careful about those. I mean, and that's one reporter in the middle of the crowd getting a little bit excited. I think, you know, what does 1 million people look like? But clearly, the important thing is it's massive. This isn't kind of a fly-by-night thing. This is something that's significant. It's broad. It's deep. It's a lot of people over a sustained period of time. And, you know, there are more rallies planned for tomorrow already.
I also asked Christian Amanpour about a possible American impact on the Iranian election, and here's what she said. Has there been an Obama effect in this election?
I would say yes. And the reason I would say that is because people have been using the word change. Those who are voting for Mousavi have been using the word change when we ask them why they were voting today.
Do you think that this is happening with these protests? Because President Obama has been criticized for not condemning the results. And some people think the circumspect approach is the right one. Others think that he's really setting the wrong tone.
Well, I think it's probably not a coincidence that this comes so soon after his Cairo speech. That speech was very well received in the Muslim world. He was addressing the Islamic world in terms of respect, which was something new, and I think had a positive effect. Now, I don't think many people believe that people are pouring into the streets of Iran because they want to follow Obama or be more like America. They don't. I mean, this is a revolution or whatever it is in Iranian terms. They don't want to, you know, as I was talking to our reporter there this morning, he said, you know, these people don't want to hang out in discos. They just want the government off their back a little more. It would be a mistake to read too much American influence into what these people want.
How much has the government crackdown on foreign journalists affected your newspaper?
It makes it hard. You know, we're trying to find creative ways to finesse it, but, we also, we're trying to respect the rules and as much as possible work within them. They've made another round of calls to correspondents there last night saying, we really, really mean it. Don't leave your office. It makes it difficult. We have to rely on, local stringers, local friends, people who are known and trusted to us to help us with some of the eyewitness stuff, because it's not safe for our correspondent to be on the streets too much.
Well, people are also sending things to YouTube. There was a video of yesterday's silent march as paramilitaries approached. The entire crowd sat down as a sign of passive resistance. And YouTube has said it's loosened its standards on violent content so that people can see what's going on in Iran. We're getting Twitters, Facebook entries. So are you going to all of those things?
I think, yes. Obviously, some of the YouTube stuff particularly has been very, very helpful. People in the crowd are finding ways to defeat the government's restrictions on the Internet. I mean, the government has made it very, very difficult for people to get on the Internet, to get on Facebook, and to get on Twitter. I think that the Twitter effect here has been a bit overstated. There are some people there who seem to be managing to crack the government restrictions, get on Twitter and get information out, and it's been very valuable. But it's been valuable, I think, as a tool for people in this part of the world to understand what's going on there. It really isn't being used as an organizing tool, or certainly not as on any grand scale there, because the government has effectively shut this down. They shut down text messaging on cell phones. It's very difficult to get Twitter that way. You can't get on the computer. It's very slow. This is really being done by word of mouth, old-fashioned actual social networks instead of internet social networks.
Reporters Without Borders said yesterday that at least 11 journalists have been detained, and the U.S.-based International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran said that several dozen noted figures associated with Iran's reformist movement were arrested on Tuesday, including politicians, intellectuals, activists, and journalists. Are they still being detained? Do we know?
I don't know. I know that they were detained. I don't know if they're still being detained. I would imagine that they are. But this is what I mean. It's very difficult now for dangerous, really, for us to operate there. And the government has shown very clearly that they're willing to pick people up who aren't doing what they're told to do.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. Kevin Sullivan is foreign editor for The Washington Post.
My pleasure. Thank you.